Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, and welcome to an hour of mind power. But today we're going to shift a little bit. We're going to be talking about body power. Mind power connects with the body and vice versa. But it's important for us to take a positioning in today's life of really empowering ourselves with information and knowledge. So instead of being so concerned about healthcare, we know that we're doing the best thing we possibly can for ourselves first and foremost. And my guest today is Donna Gates, and she was on the show back in the early part of February, where we just chatted for a few minutes about body ecology. And what we're going to be talking about today is the baby boomer diet. But let's just know, good nutrition, wellness belongs to every generation, and we want to be sure that we pay attention to what's right for us. I want to welcome to the show Donna Gates. Donna, thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to share some with us.
Oh, thank you for having me on, Donna, and there really is a tremendous connection between the mind and the body, so I hope we get a chance to talk about that.
Oh, we will. But I really like your attitude about changing the aging process. I have had conversations with a number of people lately who have been, let's say, in their 60s, 70s, 80s, and we'll talk about different things. And there are some people that when they're in their 60s, I'm old. That's the attitude that they have. And yet you can come back to them and say, wait a minute, in our world today, 60s isn't old. That's middle age. You could live to be 90, 100 and some odd years of age. What is it that's going on? Well, they have this attitude that that's what they're supposed to feel. That's what they're supposed to be experiencing. After all, that's what their parents and grandparents did. But you're not of that mindset, Donna, and I'm all in favor, but I want to look wild, woolly, and just absolutely fabulous. Forget the woolly part. I really want to look fabulous when I'm 90 years old, 95. Heck, Jacqueline
did it. That's going to be doable for our generation. We will be the first generation ever. First of all, the newest statistics out are that if you are 55 years old and you haven't had any major significant horrible thing happen to you, like you've got, you know, a heart attack or have diabetes or severe obesity, if you're healthy, pretty healthy at 55, the new life expectation for you will be 105. And what's really different for our generation is that we are on the verge of having stem cell technology that never, ever has been here before. And science, it's really here. It's not like coming, you know, it's not like 5 or 10 or 50 years in the future. It's here now, and our doctors are... Most of the major medical conferences around the world are on stem cells, and the doctors are going to learn about them, how to use them for different, you know, different problems and conditions. And, you know, it's still a very, very developing science. It's like computers were years ago. When they first came out, they were big, ugly, clunky things, and now look how streamlined they are. But we're there now, and so we will have the ability to go in and actually get new organs, believe it or not. They've already done that. There are new livers and kidneys and teeth. You know, they've already developed the technology to grow new teeth for you. So we have really got, nevertheless, even though you know, that's a possibility, it's certainly going to be expensive to go get a new liver, it's still better off to take care of yourself, and you don't need all that to live to be 105. You can be 90, 100, 105, 120 even, and feel fantastic and look fantastic. And so 60 is sort of now just halfway through your life. I mean, that's what 60 is getting to be. You've got another this much more time ahead of you.
I agree, and I think that there is more of an awareness because of shows like this, conversations, that people are becoming more and more conscious of the fact that they really have to take on responsibility for their own wellness. They can't sit around and wait for a magic pill because it doesn't exist. We've got this chassis, and we need to respect it and honor it by nourishing it with good, healthy foods. And it doesn't mean you can't have a piece of apple pie or something every once in a while or fudge brownie. That's not the issue. The issue is it's the change of mind. Because as you bring out in your book, so many times we are not alert, nor are we informed about what we're putting in. So it's up to us to start reading labels and to pay attention. There was this thing that came out in the news. What was it? Pink slimy meat of some kind. I don't remember what it was. And the public's response to this, there are three companies apparently that were involved with producing this stuff, and maybe someone in my audience remembers what it is. It just was recently that these companies, the public said, absolutely not, we won't have anything to do with this. And they're now going out of business because of the product that they had put out and the public being educated on this.
Mm-hmm. I don't think we realize the power we have to influence companies. What I see, because I've been in this world of health for so long, is there has already been a huge shift because people don't, you know, all of us, we don't want surgery, we don't want radiation and chemotherapy anymore. We are wanting, you know, help still, but we want it from a natural source. And so that's exactly what we're getting. When we want something like that, the universe just sort of opens up this, right, it feels like a Pandora box of fantastic treasures, maybe a treasure chest of fantastic treasures are dropping down on us right now, because it's a very, very exciting time to be alive. You know, it's interesting, though, that even with all the new technologies, one of the things that I'm trying to teach everybody about are actually fermented foods, and they're ancient. They've been around forever. As long as we've been on this earth living in different places all over the earth, every culture has had some type of fermented food. And Eli Mishnikov mentioned quite some, you know, 100-something years ago that people that ate fermented foods seemed to live longer. He did. He ate fermented foods, and he lived almost twice his normal lifespan of those days. And so these here in America, we don't have fermented foods available to us. I've been teaching about them for quite a long time, and they're really catching on. You'll find more people starting to make those fermented vegetables and fermented drinks and so on are becoming more popular all over. And so we're entering a new world in the food, you know, new answers are coming in the world of food as well. We have better sweeteners now, like we have stevia, and that's widely used by major companies like Coke and Pepsi, and the erythritol and different types of healthy sweeteners, including one that I brought over from Japan called the Lakanto that they've been using for the last 12 years. So we don't have to have artificial sweeteners anymore, and we don't have to have there's old foods like the fermented foods coming back that are so magical. They have such a key role in keeping us young that I'd love to talk more about those because they're finally available. It used to be that you only got to have them if you made them, which is easy to do, but now you can start to go into stores and buy them.
Well, I think in talking about fermented foods, we can go back to certain cultures. Fermenting of foods with your vinegars and things like this through the centuries was done for food preservation. Mm-hmm. You look at sauerkraut in Europe. Mm-hmm. You look at kimchi, which is fermented food, in Korea and various forms. It was necessary to have fermented food because unless you had salt, where you could salt like your meat, or you had sugar of some kind, you had, those were the primary ingredients, you know, drying it, using sugar, using salt, or pickling. That's a form of fermentation. There's pickling. And so this is the way that food could be kept so people had food for winter. They didn't have, you know, the Safeways and the Albertsons and the QFCs. That wasn't possible. You had to grow your own food, and if it got really bad, you had to throw it out. It could kill you if it was toxic with mold and that type of thing. So fermentation has been around for a long, long time.
Yes, and some people have even said that it's the food of Noah's Ark, because everywhere that people survived, you know, there was a truly, according to our scientists, a flooding of the earth thousands of years ago, and everywhere people survived, they had a fermented food to eat. And they, you know, and people did, like, for example, in a, if they had potatoes and carrots, they could, root vegetables, they could put them down in their cellar, and they would last 3-4 months through the winter if they were kept cold like that. But refrigeration is a very new tool for us. And, you know, and even Captain Cook, he would go out for 2 years at a time on his ship, and he'd have barrels of fermented cabbage down below so that his sailors, who maybe wouldn't get into port for a couple of months, wouldn't get scurvy, because the cabbage has vitamin C. When you ferment the cabbage, it now has hundreds of times more vitamin C. And so he was actually known in his time for bringing back an entire shipload of people all healthy, where in those days, most of the time when people went out in ships, they didn't come back. They died because of poor nutrition.
Mm-hmm. No question about that. Absolutely no question about it. Now, speaking of fermented food, let's talk about something that to me is quite significant. It has been very disturbing to me, especially in the research that has come across my desk. And that has to do with soy. And our Western physiology is not accustomed to this. And we have got so much soy that's being pushed and promoted. Now, in the Asian countries, they use fermented soy because they learned centuries ago that this was the healthiest way for someone to eat it. But they don't make it their mainstay. They mix it in with a lot of other stuff. Let's talk about, you know, soybeans here.
Well, these soybean, and for example, soy milk, soy ice cream, soy tofu dogs, there's quite a lot of research, really, that shows that it's weakening to the endocrine system. And women who have been vegans, who've had, children growing up, say, with parents who were vegans, they're not strong, and they often have trouble reproducing when they want to have children. There's an interesting research study that I was just looking at a couple of days ago, that if you're going to have a healthy male child, you do have to have some animal protein. So, yes, even in Japan, for example, where, of course, they have fermented natto, which is a fermented soybean, what they do is they cook those beans and they inoculate that with a very strong bacteria called natobacillus. That fermented soybean product is actually given to babies as soon as they can start mouthing food, because the bacteria in there is so strong and hardy that when you get that living inside your gut, it really builds your immune system. And then they do have miso paste, which is fermented soy. They may have tamari, which comes off, you know, when you make miso, you end up with this liquid that comes out of it called tamari, so that's another fermented soy. And if they have unfermented soy, like tofu, they'll just have little cubes of it floating around. They don't eat much soy unless it's fermented. It's very different fermented, what it does for the body. When you ferment it, you break down the proteins. They're highly assimilated, and there's a lot of food value to fermented soy. I love for people to actually take soy miso paste and put a spoonful of it into a cup of a mug, say, and pour some hot water over it and stir that in. That is so grounding. If you feel like you're coming down with a cold or something, it's a vegetarian version of grandma's chicken soup, but very strengthening like that. So, you know, fermented soy is good for people, and unfermented is the one you have to watch out for. It seems it's cold. It chills the body. Most of us have underactive thyroid. There's a new estimate out now that 90% of the women in America have Hashimoto's, which is a underactive autoimmune thyroid condition. So that means you're going to lack energy. Your body's going to be cold. We need foods to warm us up, and tofu and soy milk and soy ice cream and soy tofu dogs and so on. That tofu is going to chill us and not give us the warmth that we need.
So true. And something that has been of a tremendous concern to me are young women who have bought in to the advertising regarding soy products. and they're giving soy milk to their babies and to their very, very young children. And this is so not healthy. I mean, it's
I work with autistic children. I'm really glad you mentioned this so I could say
this. Oh, it's just so bad.
Donna, but every child that I work with, even if they were for a little while breastfed, they were all soy formula fed, and they do have weak adrenals and weak thyroid, and they have a yeast infection, which they're born with, and there's certain things that are predisposing all of our children to potentially becoming autistic. So, yes, you know, soy formula is not the answer. I think there's so many people today that know that. Like, here in California, of course, it's sort of the heart and center of where new ideas and the most educated people about, about holistic health and living are here. So here, everybody knows about this soy story, but I think in much of the rest of the country, it's still not known yet. And it's important to avoid soy and not to give your baby soy milk, and certainly not to put the milk in a bottle, a plastic bottle, and stick it in the microwave. People are still doing that, which is a terrible thing to do.
Right, because of the toxins that are leached out of the plastic into the milk of the infant. These are things that are relatively new. Now, the soybean has been around forever, but the advertising that is put out about so many things is so deceptive. It is so terribly deceptive. One of the things that I've known people who suffer severely from, and I'll use your two words, protein malnourishment. I have seen this occur in the elderly because many of the elderly have been raised with concepts and ideas that you just don't need a lot of food, and so they cut way back. I've known some people that think it's absolutely marvelous that they're hardly taking in anything, and they maybe have lost a great deal of weight, and I look at them, and their skin is in bad shape, their hair is in bad shape. All of the external signs show poor health, and they are not getting enough protein. I know vegetarians that are some of the sickliest-looking people I've ever seen, and they're not getting enough protein and nourishment. And I look at this, and I go, okay, let's talk about protein, because this has gotten such a bad rap. What can we share with people so they understand if they're vegan, there are protein sources that they must utilize because the body has to have it? What would you suggest?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind for me, there's so much to say on this subject, but you mentioned people eating less. There's actually a concept called calorie restriction that's becoming more and more well-known, and people are thinking, oh, I need to do calorie restriction in order to live longer, because the research shows that if we do eat less, we will live longer. Well, if you're going to do that, that's true. That research is true, but you've got to eat less as far as quantity goes, like amounts. But what you put into your body has to be even more superior nutritionally than it was before, And that's one of the things in the book, the Baby Boomer Diet book, I have a lot of information on this, a whole chapter on it, and then explaining, how do you increase the amount of protein without eating more protein, So there are sources of protein. For example, we make a product that's fermented spirulina and quinoa and millet and so on, and one little teaspoon is extremely rich in proteins, but it's instantly available to you, and it's all fermented. So somebody eating a steak isn't going to get as much protein as you're going to get in that one little teaspoon of powder. So you need to look for things like that to begin to get protein in your body. Now, eating protein doesn't mean we're digesting protein and we're getting it into the cells. Protein is a difficult food to digest. It has to be broken down into amino acids, and those amino acids have to somehow find their way into the cells. And so and as we get older, and some for many people early in life, they lose their ability to digest protein in the stomach. We stop making hydrochloric acid in our stomach. And so you're not breaking that protein down in the stomach. The protein moves into the small intestine where it's finished digesting. That's where important digestion of the protein takes place, in the small intestine. Your pancreatic enzymes work on the protein there, and then it gets into your bloodstream, hopefully the amino acids, and into your cells. But that's not happening for people. So eating it doesn't mean you're digesting it. We have to look for other sources of pre-digested protein. So the miso paste that I was talking about, that's a fermented soy. It's been fermented to make it easy to digest. If you're going to, believe it or not, if you were to eat a piece of salmon, if you cook that salmon a lot because you're afraid of germs, that's what you've been told, cook it, you know, to death practically, you're not going to digest it. If you were to eat that piece of salmon raw like they do in Japan, you'll digest it quite easily. And you can do a test with yourself. Eat a piece of, go to the Japanese restaurant, order some raw salmon sashimi, notice how well you digest it, then go home and cook a piece of salmon and notice how you don't digest it. The other thing with protein, when you do cook it, you should cook it at lower temperatures always. Like chicken, we've been taught to cook at 350, but it's much easier to digest the chicken if you cook it at 275. Cook it just till it's almost done, like it's just right there in the edge, and then take it out. And the heat that's in that chicken will take it the rest of the way. It's so much more tender and more digestible. And then finally, you still probably need to use digestive enzymes to help break mm-hmm. down that protein. And then the fermented vegetables, like you were talking about, sauerkraut and kimchi, I kind of clumped those into a term that we call cultured vegetables because you can go into a store and buy a jar of sauerkraut, and it's pasteurized, and it doesn't have the healthy good bacteria in it that we want people eating. So I don't use the term sauerkraut much, but that's what they call it in Russia and Poland and Germany and all over the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But still, you want to be sure you get the live one. But you eat a little couple of, you know, a little bit of that, just a few spoonfuls of it with the meal when you're eating your piece of fish or turkey or whatever you're having. And just notice then how eggs, that's another thing I've had people say, I can't digest eggs. But then they put a scoop or two of fermented vegetables on the plate, and then all of a sudden they can digest those eggs after all. And so digesting the protein is key. Eating less quantity but very high quality, and when you do eat it, make sure you digest it and you prepare it properly.
You also have suggestions in your book, and I know many of my listeners are going to be familiar with this, raw apple cider vinegar, a teaspoon in warm water and sipping it along with a meal where you have protein. It makes a difference. And
it actually
stimulates
hydrochloric mm-hmm. acid and or helps act like a hydrochloric acid. It's an acid, really. And it's helping you digest that protein because protein is digested with acids. And, you know, it's an interesting thing, too. Everybody, as they get older, start to lose the ability to make hydrochloric acid. But it's a very important digestive enzyme because it triggers the pepsin to digest the protein. It doesn't do the digestion. It doesn't do the work. The pepsin does the work of starting the digestion in the stomach. But the hydrochloric acid also sends a signal downstream into the small intestine and says, okay, get ready, wake up everybody, protein's coming down. So it even wakes up those enzymes down there. So we need hydrochloric acid, and that you can get in a high-quality digestive enzyme. Look at the label, see that it says hydrochloric acid with pepsin on it if you're eating an animal protein meal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, I think the digestive process, and young people, we always joke because we'll say, oh, my goodness, you know, you've got a cast iron stomach there. We'll watch mm-hmm. what they're eating. And, of course, as you get older, you become aware of the fact that certain foods aren't going to sit well. And I think lots of times when we notice that we're burping or there's an excessive amount of gas that we're experiencing, a lot of people say, well, I can't eat this, I can't eat that because this, mm-hmm. that, or the other. It is related to those digestive enzymes. And by having something like apple cider vinegar, the fermented vegetables, you have some choices you can work with. It's just marvelous. It can change your whole life. But again, you have to be mindfully present with this. And being aware of nutrition is so important because it enables the body to keep a healthy immune system. And this is something that people think you're born with it or you're not born with it. It's something you have to be aware of, that you've got to take care of what you've got. One of these stories that you bring out in your book, this is the one, the Baby Boomer Diet, Body Ecology's Guide to Growing Younger. You talk about cabbage. Cabbage, I can remember years ago listening to a guy by the name of Jay Kordick, and he said, if you want to really be healthy, get a cabbage, slice it up, start juicing, have maybe 2 ounces of cabbage juice, have a shot of raw cabbage juice, juice it, chug it down. And he talked about an experiment they did in a prison where a number of prisoners had bleeding ulcers. And they used raw cabbage juice, and within just a matter of a week or 2 weeks, the ulcers were totally cured.
And you know, Donna, nutrition like, makes a difference. Of something that can help one thing but be hurting something else. All food has, everything you eat has a positive and negative side to it. So you always want to look and think, okay, here's the positive side of that food. What would be the when would it be inappropriate to use this food? Now, so that's true. The enzymes in that cabbage would have been good for healing the ulcer, but I wouldn't do that for very long because cabbage belongs to the cruciferous family, which is an amazing, wonderful group of vegetables. They're powerful cleansers, and they prevent cancer and prostate and breast cancer and everything. So they're really important foods to eat, and it's cabbage and broccoli and Brussels sprouts and cauliflower. There's a whole bunch of them. But anyway, you don't want to eat those raw. You want to cook them or culture, ferment them. And so then, you know, over the long time, they have all their wonderful cleansing benefits and all their nutritional wonderful, they're superstars, really. And then fermented, or if they're cooked or fermented, you'll find them easy to digest. Otherwise, they tend to sort of, again, suppress the thyroid, and you want to keep that thyroid warm, and it's really an important little organ to take care of, your thyroid.
Now, let me ask you something. We're talking about fermented cabbage. Do you have a recipe you'd recommend for my listeners?
Well, you know, if somebody really wants to do a super quick job, you literally can slice up red or green cabbage or both if you want. And you have to kind of break it down a little bit. So if you want to, you could kind of take a little pounding tool and kind of beat it up in a bowl, and then you could sprinkle a little teeny bit of salt over it and then pack it into a jar real tight and let it sit there for a week. It's going to ferment. We have a different method that we use where we tell people to, you know, shred up the cabbage or other vegetables they're going to use, like maybe carrots or fennel. I have this wonderful, one of my favorite recipes has cabbage, kale, onion, fennel, some sea salt, and mint, a lot of mint. It's really good. But so then I'll take a blender and put in some water, and we add extra bacteria, plantarum bacteria, into that water. And a little bit of feed for them, like something sweet, like you can add honey or you can add this powder that we have called chicory inulin. It's a prebiotic that helps them grow. So let's see what else. Yeah, a little bit of salt. You can put the salt in there. But what you do then is pour that into your shredded vegetables and work that all in with your hands and then start packing your jars full of. It makes quite a few jars, like at least 6 to 9 jars, depending on the size of the jars. So you make it up, and it's going to last you for weeks and weeks, so you don't have to do this very often. But let that sit out for a week or so, a week or 10 days, and then put it in your refrigerator. It's ready to go. And it's just amazing, you know, what it tastes great. It's at first, some people don't like it if they don't like the sour taste. Some people love the sour taste, but some people are hooked on sweet and salty. So, you know, if that's a new flavor, they're not so crazy about sour. Until they eat it for about 4 or 5 days, and then you get to the point where the meal doesn't taste quite right without it, because they bring in this fresh quality, and they help you digest that meal. So, you know, after a few days, if you go back to eating a meal without the fermented vegetables in them, you think, oh my goodness, you know, it's something. It's kind of dead. It doesn't have that life that these fermented vegetables bring into it. So it's really good to learn how to make them, and it's very easy. But the YouTube, gosh, you can go to YouTube and get all kinds of people on there making them. It's become very, you know, a very hot thing these days in the world of natural health and nutrition.
Body ecology. Donna Gates has a wonderful book, The Baby Boomer Diet. It's a guide to growing younger. It's for anybody of any age, baby boomers, whatever. And I don't care if you're in your 80s. You can utilize this yourself. It doesn't make any difference. What we all want to do is take our power as an individual and make choices that are going to make us healthy so that we can live not just a long life, but a life with quality where we're going to have the energy to do what we want to do. Now, Donna's website is bodyecology.com. Bodyecology.com. She's got all kinds of good information there. Go and check it out. But if you really want to do yourself a favor, check out the book as well, because it is something that I think has a lot of provocative thought in it and something you may want to explore. Why not be healthy? You don't need to be sick. It's not a requirement. It's not the standard of life. You should be able to enjoy good health. Donna, I want to thank you very much, Donna Gates, for being my guest today, and I wish you continued success.
Thank you, Donna. You're a great cheerleader. Who could not be healthier after listening to your show?
Well, thank you so much. Donna Gates has been my guest. Check out bodyecology.com. It makes a difference. Inform yourself. Life is meant to be lived with zest. Take care of yourself, and that'll be your gift. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com, that's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N, and find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007, that's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic. Safe for children, too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are now open. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008 is the telephone number to call into. All I need from you is your first name or your initial. And then after that, I'll tell you what I perceive, and then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that's of concern to you. 888-627-6008. And tomorrow we're going to be talking about free fall with Sally Anderson. She's in New Zealand. We'll be chatting with her. And then on Friday, oh, one of our favorite topics, right? Clutter. Oh, my goodness. Does it happen to you like it does to me? I swear, mail has babies. Yes. It seems like by the end of the week when I bring the mail in, some of it I go through quickly, usually junk mail, but I don't know how. All this paper just seems to keep multiplying. You swear it's pregnant when you get it, and it just keeps having those babies, and you just get more and more and more and more. Don't you just love the paperless society we live in? It seems like I have more of it than ever before. Well, how can we manage that? It's an ongoing job. I don't know of anybody that's totally
whipped it. We really like to think we do at times, but I'll tell you, it's just one of those facts of life. Whether it's clothes, dust bunnies, whatever, it's there. So we just need to keep on figuring out new ways of handling it. So that's what we're going to be doing on Friday. And also, quick like a bunny, I want to mention to those of you who are listening in Western Washington, my Quantum Mind 3 class is coming up on April the 14th. I love doing these classes. I just absolutely love it because it gives me a chance to share my skills, and Robert Newman is going to be sharing his expertise with Chinese medicine. So this class is from 10 in the morning until 4 in the afternoon, and Robert does the first part of the class, and this is all going to be about Chinese medicine, how you can use it in everyday life, and why it works. And then the second half, we're going to be talking about developing psychic abilities, but also dreams. Many, many people, just like me, start off exploring the skills of the mind because of dream experiences that they have. So that's what this class is going to be all about. Lunch is going to be served Saturday, April the 14th. We will be opening the doors at 9 in the morning. And, of course, the fee for the class is $59.95, and at the door it's $69.95. So if you'd like to make a reservation for this absolutely interactive, wonderfully uplifting class, then do give me a call at my office directly at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604. Or contact me through email, Donna@DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna@DelphiInternational.com. And you'll get all of that information taken care of as far as registration goes. We're taking those registrations now, and I'd love to have you in the class. Also, another major announcement that is coming up. This show is going to be moving to 9 a.m. as of May the 1st. That's right. The show, the Donna Siebel Show, will be on from 9 to 10 Pacific Time starting May 1. So I want to be sure that I let you know and that you can put that down and you can tune in at that time and, of course, adjust it accordingly depending on where you are in the U.S. or in other countries. And then, let's see, there was something else I wanted to tell you. Oh, well, it'll come back to me. Have you ever thought that when you're in the dumps, that maybe you should imagine the worst to feel better? Well, there is a gentleman by the name of Timothy Wilson. He's a psychologist at the University of Virginia. He said, so often we're told to count our blessings, but he's got a different twist here. He said, subtract them. He said, if you consciously spend a few minutes imagining what your life would be like without the good things, boy, he said, talk about a shift. You're going to really start experiencing a lot of gratitude for what you do have when you think about what life would be like without the people and things that you love. And he said, it gives you a different way of thinking. All I have to do is imagine the worst, like not having a washing machine and a dryer, no electricity, no gas heat. Boy, the gratitude will come in pretty fast. What about you? Try it. You might find it as being something really, really good for you to do. I think being grateful is very, very important. I really do. But you must remember or even think about what it would be like if you didn't have things. So I like your suggestion. It really is great. I also would suggest you go to your library and get the, I think the video is called The 1900 House. I'd like you to get it. The 1900 House. It is about a family in England who is going to live as if they were living in the 1800s. It is an eye-opener. This was the first show of its kind, sort of like a reality show. And they had found this old, old house. Actually, it's sort of like a townhouse. That's what I think I'd call it. And it was in London. And they totally refurbished it. They found this place. They were able to find out about the old heating system. It had the outhouse outside. I mean, they took it way back into the 1800s, the way people were living at that time and what they had to contend with. And there was a family
husband, wife, three kids. One of the kids opted out of the experiment. They didn't want to do the experiment. They said, I'm not going to be in this one. I know I'm not going to like it, so I'm just not going to do it. Smart kid. Anyway, the two kids, the two adults participate. And the mother was absolutely so upset with it. She had, this family had been chosen out of, I think, 7,000 submissions. They had to live this way, I think it was for 3 months. It was quite an experience. So check out at your local library. If you want to be grateful for what we have acquired in the way of capabilities of dealing with things and providing what would be considered the bare necessities of shelter, heat, food, transportation, all of these things that we take so much for granted today. Check out that movie, and it will just, you'll sit there and you won't look at your life the same way, believe me. Often we fantasize about the past without realizing, really, because we don't have any practical experience, we don't realize what it was really like then. Well, I'll tell you, you will after you see that show. And kicking off your day with chocolate, that suggestion to me is just absolutely wonderful. Dark chocolate, and I know you've heard this before, has the right amount of theobromine. Now, it is, theobromine apparently is not unlike caffeine, and it is full of antioxidants. It's very good for you. So if you're sort of feeling sort of low in your energy, have a piece of chocolate. Does wonders for me. I like it. And, you know, we were talking earlier about healthy foods. Quinoa, I finally learned how to pronounce it properly, is a grain that has been around for thousands and thousands of years. And if you turned into the show yesterday and we were talking about Atlantis, that came up. This is one of those ancient, ancient grains, and it's super, super loaded with protein. And among the people in South America, people that live in Peru and they're up in the Andes, they have a deep regard for this food because they call it a superfood. In fact, a regular serving has twice as much protein and 8 times as much fiber as a serving of white rice. It is an amazing food. And it's sort of bland, but you can really, really make a difference in the flavor of it. If any of you are using quinoa at this time, if you want to have more of a flavor with it, besides using chicken broth or whatever else you want to use in seasonings, all you have to do is take your quinoa, put it on a tray, baking sheet, put it in a 350-degree oven for 8 to 10 minutes. It'll turn golden brown, and then cook it. It's going to really improve the flavor of the grain. Just a little bit of a tip there. So quinoa is a marvelous substitute. If you are a vegetarian, it's very good. And I know I had a woman by the name of Sylvia who was from the mountains in the Andes. She's descended from a very, very old tribe of people. And she said, the women don't have osteoporosis. She said, quinoa is a very important staple in our diet. And she said, we're very, very strong. And she was in her 50s. And I met her personally, and she said, this is what we do. This is one of our foods, and it is extremely healthy. And Western science has finally proven that this is not a legend. It really is a very, very good food to eat, and it's easy to digest. So that's just a little bit of trivia there. This is Donna Sebo, 888-627-6008. Give me a call. Oh, I promised I'd share with you the broccoli rabe feta and mint pasta recipe. Delicious. Okay, we're taking a break. We'll be back in just a minute. Don't go away.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Hi, this is Donna. Have you got that pad of paper and pen handy for the recipe? Here we go for the broccoli rabe. By the way, if you want to call me, 888-627-6008. Now, these are the ingredients you're going to need. You're going to need a tablespoon of olive oil, 2 ounces of pancetta chopped, 2 ounces, one onion finely chopped. You're going to need some red pepper flakes. You're going to need a can, 28 ounces of Italian tomatoes, and then a teaspoon of kosher salt, a quarter of a teaspoon of ground pepper, about 1 3/4 pounds of broccoli rabe trimmed. And you want to cut that into like 1-inch pieces. And then you need about 14 to 16 ounces of rotini pasta, your favorite brand of that, a quarter of a cup of chopped fresh mint. Now, you can use dried with this, but if you have fresh, it makes all the difference in the world. And then about 3/4 cup to 1 cup of crumbled feta cheese. I like a lot of extra cheese. I don't know about you, but I really love feta cheese. Now, this is what you do. In a big frying pan over medium heat, you're going to warm your olive oil. You toss in your pancetta. You saute it until it's a little bit brown. It takes you about 5 minutes. Add your onion and add maybe about 2 pinches of pepper flakes to pan. If you're serving this, you know, with other people, keep it on the lighter side of heat. If you like a really spicy, put in however much you want. Now, you're going to saute until the onion is tender, and that's going to take about 8 minutes. Add your tomatoes, a cup of water, bring to a boil, breaking up your tomatoes with a spoon or a fork, and then you reduce your heat to medium-low. Now, you're going to simmer this on medium-low until your sauce thickens. The flavors are going to marry. That's going to take about 15 to 20 minutes. Then just add your salt and pepper. And, of course, while that's going on, you've got a big pot. You want to have it full of salted water. Bring it to a boil. Toss in your broccoli rabe. You want to cook it for only about 4 minutes. That means that it's going to get sort of tender, but yet it's still going to have that crispness. Al dente, like you do with a spaghetti, you need to remember that with this vegetable. Then remove the broccoli rabe to a bowl. Add your pasta. You take a slotted spoon. Get your broccoli rabe out. Then toss in that same pot. You want to toss your pasta in, and that'll take about 11 minutes to cook. Then what you're going to do is return your broccoli rabe to the pot. because it's going to cool down while the pasta is cooking. And that's only going to take 30 seconds. You drain your pasta and the broccoli rabe at the same time. Return it to the same pot, add your sauce and your mint, stir it until it's coated, mix in about a half a cup of your cheese, a little bit more if you like, taste it, see how you like the flavors, and if you need to adjust the seasonings, do so, and then put it in your serving bowl or plate, whatever you're going to do, and I'd recommend that it be warm so it complements the dish, and then sprinkle some extra feta over the top. Real simple, it is so pretty, and it's just absolutely delicious. You're not going to go wrong with this. And even kids will like it. They will like it. Of course, you're not going to want to use too much hot pepper flakes with kids if you're going to be fixing it. But it's something that's flavorful, delicious, it's good for you, and it's filling. It is something that's very, very satisfying and some freshly baked, you know, French bread or Italian bread or whatever you like. And a little bit of wine. Oh, gee whiz, you got it made. Well, the big tea time is coming up. I'm talking about tea like for taxes. Not the stuff you drink, but tea like for taxes. Oh, boy. All of us have to deal with this. Now, if you are doing this and you've got somebody that's doing it for you and you're so comfortable with it, great. But if you're one that does it yourself, can you get some free help? The answer is yes, you can. There's free tax prep software. Now, if your adjusted gross income is $57,000 or less, you can take advantage of an IRS free file online program. Yep, that's available. All you have to do is log on to irs.gov/free file. irs.gov/free file. You fill in your information such as estimated earnings, age, and state of residence, and then you'll be given a choice of companies that offer free tax prep software that meets your needs. Amazing, isn't it? And all you have to do is click on the link provided and then follow the online instructions to fill out your tax forms at no charge. You can also, if you earn $50,000 or less, you can qualify for free tax preparation assistance from IRS-trained volunteers, and they are often available in libraries, schools, malls, and other locations. Now, if you need information on this, you can call 800-906-9887. That's 800-906-9887, or visit irs.gov, and you can do a search for free tax return preparation. The IRS also has a tax hotline at 800-829-1040. That's 800-829-1040, Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. local time, and you can speak with someone that is alive and breathing, not a computer something. I don't know about you, but don't you get irritated when you have those computer voices over and over and over again? Sometimes it is so frustrating to have to deal with more than one recording before you actually get to a live person. But in this situation, you can get to someone. Also, you can ask questions online. There are free online communities that are dedicated to answering tax questions for people. There's TurboTax Live Community, and that is ttlc.intuit.com. And H&R Block also has something called Get It Right, and their website is getitright.hrblock.com. And then there's about.com's tax discussion forum. And you can go to taxes.about.com. And there are going to be real people that have addressed a lot of issues, and they moderate the discussions. And usually you'll get a reply anywhere from 24 to 48 hours. So those are just some tips for you. This is something that the adage, two things you can be guaranteed about, death and taxes. Mm-hmm. That's the truth. I don't know of many civilizations that haven't had challenges with taxes. Study the history, and it's been a very, very common complaint. This is Donna Sebo. I hope you'll join me tomorrow, same time, same place, right here at BBS Radio. And we've got some good things to share with you, as we always do on the Donna Sebo Show. Look forward to chatting with you then. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Sebo. God bless. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.